Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
On the Talk Straight show, we have previously discussed American capitalism. By way of extension, we now consider yet another aspect of the topic. That is the notion of making money. Too often, good people become so preoccupied with chasing dollars that they miss out on real wealth. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful for you to join us this August 8th, 2017, where tonight we're speaking from the topic, seeking knowledge or making money, which is more valuable. Please join us here. Give us a call, 657-383-0944. For our new listeners, you can call in and add your question or comment. Just participate in the dialogue. We only ask that you make it relevant to our topic and that we show respect for all of our callers and listeners that may join us. If you archive the show later and you have questions or comments, you can give us a call at the website, www.bfcinstitute.com. There's a phone number and an email address there listed, and or you can send us a comment or communicate with us there. We're expecting to have one of our previous guests that was with us, and she is a financial expert, and I believe she'd be able to add a great deal of context to our conversation. In just a little bit, we're going to go through our regular monologue where we provide some factual basis or context for the conversation that we will be having tonight, and then we will rely on our callers and our guests to share and weigh in with us. Together, we can learn together. All of our experiences culminate what we can do together, and we can make a move in the forward progress. All right, having said that, we're going to, without further ado, get to our monologue here. And we have some questions on our Facebook page. Feel free to respond to those. Offer your comments, your questions, or responses accordingly. We'll be happy to engage you in that conversation as well, and with other Facebook friends there. All right, again, we're talking from the topic, seeking knowledge or making money, which is more valuable? Three texts tonight. Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse reads, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let me begin with giving some basic definitions for two concepts here that we'll be tackling tonight, and that's knowledge and money. Knowledge, facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. The theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. Awareness or familiarity that is gained by experience of a fact or out of a situation. Perhaps the most powerful and productive trait of a rational human being is the ability to acquire or gain knowledge. That knowledge serves as a compass or directional apparatus in life, as a level, a balancing apparatus for your life, and as a plumb, a straightening apparatus should you ever go off course to put you back on track. These things are useful in all of our lives. One's success in life can be measured by their core base or knowledge or intellect. As social beings, we begin acquiring knowledge by observation, namely from our parents or siblings, and by experimenting with various things and people in the environment in which we live. When an individual demonstrates a change in their behavior or their outlook on a certain perspective, after they have been exposed to new information, their learning is measured by the application of the knowledge gained. Hence, we can determine if they've learned anything. In fact, an educational theorist, Dr. Benjamin Samuel Bloom, who was an educational psychologist, he suggests that the evidence of mastering instruction is one's ability, the student, the learner's ability, to use that information for their own benefit and further to be able to teach others how to master the information as well. The latter leads to the creation of what's known as intellectual property. It's a product or invention that is the result of individual creativity, such as a manuscript for a book or a design pattern for something that people would buy and use and have application in their life. And one would have exclusive rights to this because it comes from them. Therefore, they're able to apply to the government for a patent or a copyright or trademark. And that protects their idea that will be financially or economically beneficial to them from now into eternity. Now, money. Money is an item or a verifiable record that is generally accepted as payment for goods or service and repayment of debt in a particular country or social economic context. The main functions of monies are to be distinguished, as a medium of exchange. When you go to a place such as a farmer's market where there's bartering and exchanging of goods or services, a unit of account such as your bank of account, a store value, the things that you go in the store and buy, they have a price tag on them. Or even sometimes a standard of deferred payment, a long-term loan that you might take out. Whenever an individual seeks to make money, they lend themselves to the challenges, the expectations, restrictions, and ultimately the outcomes of the will of something or someone else in exchange for what is called the implied value of a good or service that that individual or thing controls. That value is subject to change, however, based on unknown circumstances, either at the present or in the future, depending on who controls it. In the end, it is the person who controls the commodity that makes the most property, or profit, I should say. Consider the making money as being synonymous to playing a game. Rather, it is as a street hustler, as an employee, or middleman. Any player is subject to the rules that are laid out by the game's creator. You only truly win once you have mastered the rules well enough to have others competing to play by your rules. Now, I don't want you to just take my word for it, but I want you to consider the words of these fellas when they talk about what this desire for money and making money can do for you. And then we'll open our phone lines and have some conversation here.
Hello, Reverend Doctor.
Yes.
This is Shakira. I was just letting you know I'm here.
Okay. Talk Straight. Tonight we're speaking from the topic, seeking knowledge or making money, which is more valuable. Glad to have with us again Ms. Shatiria Stearns, who is a financial consultant based out of the Nashville, Tennessee area. And good evening, ma'am. How are you?
I am doing well, and thanks so much for having me, Reverend.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for coming back, and how's the family? Let's get that off the, table now.
They're doing well, and yourself?
great. It's about time.
Thank you for asking.
Back out of here. Yes, ma'am. I'm about to send some of ours back out again for school next year. But it's that time again. Pastor Waller, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine. So
very good.
You guys heard our monologue. The OJs made it very clear of some of the things that money will make people do. Is there any truth to that, Ms. Stearns?
I think there's a lot of truth to that, and it goes back to the word which you were saying. It's the love of money. So I want us to be, I want everyone to be clear that's listening. There's nothing wrong with accumulating wealth.
Okay.
However, there's a way to go about doing it. And the love of money, is that's what gets us in trouble. So I don't want people to take that scripture and it's taken out of context because it has been in the past.
Sure.
Just going back
to
people do anything for money.
who's really the problem? Is it money that's the problem, or is the people? Where the problem at? It's a problem somewhere. Who's the problem?
It's the people. Money is not, it's just a conduit.
Right.
It's not
right.
Negative or positive. It's just a conduit. So it depends on who's in control of it and what they decide
right.
to do with it.
Okay. You know, as I look at it, I realize that money is really not anything real. It's the agreement of a certain value. And you exchange either time or material in agreement that you'll get something else that is of equal or greater value. So really what people are seeking when they say they want to make a dollar is they're really seeking to be able to do certain things. But just because you got a dollar, does that mean you're going to spend it wisely or that it's going to really be fruitful for you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It all depends on, you know, just your intentions of what you want to do with the money. And then something that I always talk about is that you could accumulate these things, but if you have not dealt with, like, behaviors that
yes,
may cause you to make negative choices,
right.
you're going to run through that money. Look at people that hit the lottery or come into large sums of money out of settlements and things like that, they blow right through it because they do not have the wisdom and the discipline that's necessary for them to be good stewards over what they have received.
Absolutely. And so, and I appreciate you being with us tonight because that's really where we want to put it. Person seeks to know what is good, what is profitable. Wouldn't that allow them to have better judgment about anything they have possession of, money or even relationships? And I think that's where the rub is that we've been conditioned, people in general, and I'm not just talking about African Americans, but people in general have been conditioned to seek after the money, the material, and not really appreciate the principle thing, which is knowledge and understanding about those things. Pastor Waller, would you agree with that?
I will. I would be in agreement with that, without a doubt. And I do want to say that there's power in words. And when you spend for the money is the root of all kind of evil, man. I think for the love of money, it has to do with it. And it don't start with someone that's grown. You know, it goes back to when someone is very young. That get captured into the thought of money, you know, whether it's a quarter, nickel, or dime, and all of a sudden, it's the trap. It's still a trap in some instances, you know. I, for instance, and I'm dealing with that, I didn't know anything about that song until I heard it. And when I heard it, I was affiliated with getting money. And believe me, man, I tell you, the sound of that and the music that was played, and all the things that scared about it, you know, some people got to have it, you know. And then it says some people really need it. And so,
really
need it. You know, with that, it took me back, okay? Now, little did I know that that is in the Bible, man. It's actually in the Bible. So I knew nothing about the Bible. I had no clue at all that it was in the Bible. I just know this song, and it sounded really good. And, you know, with me, I just want to say, you know, a person get caught in a trap real quick, man. dealing with money, not knowing that for the love of it could kick in real quick and you don't even know it.
Right.
You know, because when it's sick, to have it, oh man, when you get to that, man, I mean, I've been addicted to a lot of things before, but to become addicted to, oh man, it's terrible, bro. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And I'll be with you once you get started. I want to hear a little bit more, and I want to thank God for being here, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you. We got 1080 and 1098 on the line with us. Appreciate you all for coming in. Ms. Stearns, I'm 16 years old. I live in the hood. I get a job at, let's say, Taco Bell, right? They only pay me about $7.50 an hour. What should be my goal 10 years from the date I got hired?
You said what should be your goal from
ma'am.
At this point
ten years from now?
10 years
from the date I got hired. So I'm 16 now. I'd be about 26 years old 10 years later. What should be my goal going in there, starting at Taco Bell now?
I think one is that you're developing by start working that early. You can develop a good work habit. But I think you need to be taught about finances and money at an early age.
Okay. Explain that to us.
Because understand this. I've come to realize that working is an art. It's a lot to it. And we have situations where people do not want to work but it's an art to it. So the younger you're exposed, I'm sure all of us probably have been working. I know I've been working since I was 14.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure you guys have been working through summer youth programs. You guys have probably been working very young, too. It's an art to it.
So
I think that if a goal for someone that's 16 years old that's working at Taco Bell, because it doesn't matter where you start, it's about where you finish.
Right.
That person should learn about finances, about budgeting. About budgeting. And then the work ethic, and then help them set goals to where they want to be. And it's all about exposure. Like, my son is 8 right now, and this may sound crazy to a lot of people, but just yesterday, we logged into my online banking, and we paid bills together. Because at some point, he's going to become a young man. He'll go off to college. He will have his own place. He'll have to pay bills.
Right.
And at some point, he'll probably get married and have children. What better time to not expose him to finances and budgeting while he's young, so it will become a habit?
I get you.
Budgeting is nothing but simple math. So if kids at his age know how to add and subtract, sit them down and help them go over budget, because they think money grows on trees, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know mine did. Yes, ma'am. Well, now, so that's interesting, because you know my whole purpose for this platform is to educate. And I hope that some young person is listening, and I've shot some emails to some young cats and told them, check this out, listen to this, give yourself a little time when you're sitting by yourself. And I hope they do that, right? So catch this. Here's the complaint out here on the street. And that is, man, I ain't about to go work no 8 hours for no little $7.50 when I can make some real, I can make some real stacks and some ends. And so my response is, okay, I get that. How about if you look at it this way? You go in today with the plan that after 2 years at Taco Bell, you want to be looking at line leader. After 3 to 5 years, you want to be manager. After 10 years, you want to be a franchise owner.
That's right.
See, what you're doing over time is you're gaining the knowledge to what? Control how much money you can make from that venture, as opposed to somebody dictating to you how much you can make. Is that, you understand what I'm saying? You're 16
Absolutely.
Years old. You're 16 years old, And there's nothing wrong with working at McDonald's or Burger King or Waffle House or Taco Bell. Look, go in there with the right mindset. You understand what I'm saying? And once you learn, it's the knowledge that you're looking for, see. And when you acquire that knowledge, you come out stronger, wiser, and able to control long-term your life destiny economically because of the
awesome.
Way you looked at it. But if all you're trying to do is to make a quick buck to make yourself feel good, you can do that all kind of ways. Them little cats out there standing on the block, they slanging, and they making quick money, but they looking over their shoulder. And the man
right.
got an eye on them. They don't realize they're giving you just enough rope to hang yourself. You see what I mean? Is that right, 1080? Is that right, 1080?
Yeah, they do, but sometimes what I notice, a lot of people get comfortable with them $7 an hour jobs from like when they were 16 years old, and now they 30s and they 40s, and they still work at KFC and Taco Bell jobs. I still see them out there today, so you got to be sharp about what you're going into because you don't want to find comfort in that as well. You can't
that
find
so
comfort
true.
In it because I know you know that's all you're used to, and you will continue to do it if you don't know better. So my opinion, if I was making this $7 an hour, I would definitely go in knowing that I don't want to be here. So every day that I'm here, I'm constantly thinking of a way how to get out of this situation, not to make myself comfortable in it.
Wow.
That's my opinion.
Wow, that's...
If you like
no, no,
things,
that's...
you're going to have to do something different. Or your life is going to continue to be the same way that you're not happy in. So you're going to have to go to school and educate to get yourself out of that situation, or you're going to be there for a long time.
Right. Wow. Great. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. 1090, you agree with that position?
Hey, all I can say is wow. Yes. And not only that, let me add this. A wise
okay.
man can play the role of a fool, but a fool cannot play the role of a wise man. Educate yourself. Countless, you know. I love this one, Reverend Doctor. I love this one because I use it when I want to make a fast buck or use some more money. I'm a wise man, okay? All
right,
I got something you want, okay? Tell you what, give me a third of 100, right? You know, they give me $75. I seek knowledge. Knowledge is power.
Right.
Once you get the knowledge, you can move on. This is the only way that you'll become successful, as 1080 said. When you go to school, you get yourself educated, as well as the female speaker. That's the main thing. Before I I used to seek money. I used to be a dealer with money. But I learned, hey, man, behind that, you have got to have knowledge.
That's
if
it.
You have knowledge, you have nothing, you know.
Right.
You just drop, caught your phone, the whole nine yards. And I'll stop
listening. Okay, let me ask
third of a dollar.
Let me ask you. All right. Let me ask Ms. Stearns this question before we go through. We're about at the top of the hour before we go to a little commercial break. Ms. Stern, is it possible for a man or woman or child to become a slave to money? I know Pastor Waller want to chime in on that. But Ms. Stern, is that possible at all?
Oh, man.
Absolutely. We see that daily. You know, people become slaves to money, and then they become more and more in debt, and then they're more and more enslaved.
Wow. You know,
it can happen to anyone.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize. I cut you off.
Oh, no. One of your speakers just said, you know, the exact same thing. You know, it's sometimes you don't even realize it.
Yeah. Pastor Wall, did you want to chime in or weigh in on that before we go to a little break here?
Yeah, I want to thank Ms. Stern, man, for how she's bringing up the 8-year-old kid, man. I really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really do want to say that before I go any further. But then here I am talking about something that, you know, I speak about a lot, Pastor Doctor, is the trap.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
know anything about the Word of God, I said. But it says here in another translation, it says, but people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmless diseases.
My Lord.
That plunge them into ruin and destruction. Then it goes on and says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Man, when I came to myself and realized that, I had already corrupted my community, man. And it was through the love of money without even knowing that I was loved.
Right.
That's where the trap is. See, you don't have to start out loving money. But once you look back, and of course, that's what I had to do, and I discovered that I was enslaved with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in such a way, it took many, 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 many years, man, before I became aware. With this money, the enemy can use money and cause you to corrupt a whole community, man. And that to me, that's where the many sorrows came in at. Because when I look back over it, man, it just weighs real heavy. Even today, you know, knowing. But in 1997, man, I was so glad that I no longer was caught in that trap of slanging that drug, and that caused so many people harm. So that's when I escaped it, you know. Just so grateful for that, man. You know, thank God for the topic.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, knowledge is important, man. Knowledge is king, you see.
Yes.
And once a person grab a hold to the knowledge, that's why the Word of God said that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. So a person understanding of why he's going at money like this, what is the purpose for the money, and things like that. And today, I'm real careful about that. You know, so I've learned how to be content in whatever state I'm in. See, I no longer run after the money like that now. But I know money is important. It's something worth having to do things with it, you know, because it's kingdom building, man, that it can be used for now.
Yeah,
I've done a lot of work out here with little or no help at all, man. So, you know, don't think by chance, man. I don't think about all that money I used to get to destroy and bring all that corruption. And then here it is, you know, when you get in God's kingdom and then you not have that money, man, those thoughts kick in, temptation and the wicked one and saying this and that and other. So again, just thank God for the topic, man. It's a great reminder.
Okay. I'm going to throw something out here right quick before we – and I want to get this little message. Y'all stay with us, get this message. I'm going to throw this out there. If some people, if their mind is not right, Ms. Stearns, giving them water, money, is almost as dangerous as giving them a loaded pistol. Hold that thought. I'm coming. I'll be right back. Give me a few minutes now, and then we'll come right back. But giving them a lot of money is like giving them a loaded pistol and telling them pull the trick. But we'll be right back.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
John, can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Hey, look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
You're listening to Talk Street Money, which is more valuable. When we left for a break, raised the issue that for some people, if their mind is not right, you might as well give them a loaded pistol, tell them to pull the trigger, if you just give them a whole lot of money and they don't have the knowledge of what to do with it. Ms. Stearns is going to weigh on that just for a second, but in just a second, Ms. Stearns, stories told of knowledge and truth that ran into each other one night. Both of them were glistening with a light and a glare about themselves, so they couldn't see one another because around them it was pitch black. They ran into each other. Knowledge backed up and said, "Hey, Truth, watch where you going." Truth said, "What you want to do?" Knowledge said, "You know what? I got enough to do something, leave something with you." Truth told Knowledge, "Be careful, Knowledge, because you know if you mess with me, I'll make you free." What about that, Ms. Dines?
Well, Doc, I'm going to go back to the word. And, you know, the word, people can't argue with the word.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go back to the word and, you know, just
fair
what
enough,
the word says.
That's
the word
enough,
tells
that's
us
fair.
That, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." He also goes on to say that gold there is and rubies in abundance. The lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. And Proverbs compare knowledge to a precious jewel, a rare stone. So I say, to answer your question, putting money in someone's hands or water in somebody's hand that lacks wisdom and understanding, you're setting them up for failure because they don't have the wisdom and the knowledge that is needed to be a good steward of the money. And they're just going to blow through it. They're going to waste it because they don't know. And that's why I'm really big on, you know, working with people on behaviors.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
because
ma'am.
If you don't deal with the behaviors and get to the root of these things of why you make the choices that you make, whether it's money or anything, you're not a benefit. You're not benefiting yourself. You're actually going to blow through this money, like you said. The analogy you use is giving them a loaded gun.
Yeah. You know, I had the occasion of having conversation with some young ladies who were in college. Little babies, to me they were. I mean, and outcasts to make money,
yeah.
to take care of their bills, they would go and dance at clubs, you know.
Okay.
And that sort of thing. Young cats would go and they would get out on the street. These are college students. Now, you're going to college supposedly to get a degree. Well, what I'm getting at is we often tell young people that if you get an education, you can be able to graduate from high school, go to college perhaps, and get a good job, and that's going to make your life peachy cool. Is that all it is to it? I mean, is it more to that? What are you going to say, Al-Kan?
Yes, sir, it is. Instead of them going, thinking about getting a job, working for a big firm or someone else, they should focus more on going into a field to where they can work for themselves. Again, I quote this again. A wise man can play the role of a fool, but a fool cannot play the role of a wise man. A wise person that has the knowledge and seek the knowledge. I don't want to work for someone else. What about building me something? What about giving me some employees? This is where it is. And this is the idea that a lot of students, you know, going to college, this is all they think about. trying to get a degree, get a job at IBM. What about self? I mean, knowledge been talking to you all the time. Have you knock? Have they been? You're a little kid. Listen to me. You're a little 8 year. Whiskey, he was about 10 years old. Me and some guy was, you know, we were sitting around talking about school, college, and things of that nature. And he said, look, Mr. Outcast, he said, I don't understand why people go to college to work for someone else. I said, wow. 10 years old now.
Wait a minute now.
I told him, me going to college, I'm going to work for myself. And I'll be quiet. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet.
Charles, what were you gonna say, man?
When you're coming up as a young kid, I mean that's all they introduce you in public school. They never introduce being an entrepreneur. You figure that out later in life after you done been through something. Now you want to work for yourself when you done got laid off because a job done laid you off. That's when you start thinking entrepreneurial. They never teach you that.
Wow.
And another thing, with my generation, I'm 35 years old. My parents didn't even tell me that because that was for them to have a job. I mean, that was an opportunity for them, but that's old teaching.
Yes.
You got to be an example if you want to see these kids do it. Me personally, I work for myself. I'm a barber. I cut grass part time. I'm an entrepreneur all the way around the board.
I did this to do this,
it didn't just fall on my lap. I mean, I was tired of getting laid off jobs. And I just figured I'm going to go this route. You know what? It took time, but at the end, it was worth it.
That's awesome.
At the end, it's worth it. And if you can manage your own time, if you can just look at life like not by, based off how much you get, I'm about to get paid this year, if you can look at it long term, it's always worth you investing to yourself before you invest in somebody else. Period.
That's always
a good time to do it. That's worth time. Can't get time back. You can always get money. But what you can't get is time. And people get robbed out of their time for working for other people. That's what's happening out here. You're losing time. Mm-hmm. You can't get that back.
Stearns, I don't think they're saying that there's necessarily anything evil about working for someone. But I think what they're saying is let your goal and your focus be to ultimately be your own entrepreneur, your own boss. That's what I'm hearing. What about that, Ms. Stearns?
I agree with him totally, and he's absolutely right. Schools as well as colleges, they're not teaching students how to become entrepreneurs. And that's something that needs to be implemented in our classrooms and elementary all the way up to colleges. People do not know. They do not know. And then also, you know, they probably do not have a lot of – that's why I think mentoring is very, very important. They probably do not have a lot of people around them that are entrepreneurs. So it can be a challenge, not say impossible. It can be a challenge for you to try to pursue something that you have not seen or you may not know how to do. I'm not saying impossible. So, I mean, I think that's amazing. The young man is an entrepreneur, and he's a barber as well as he cuts grass. Now, what if we can duplicate that and he can go out and he can show young men, or not just you, but someone else, how to become a barber, how to own your own business, and how to have a lawn service? Do you see what I'm saying? Those are something that just in our community that you do not see a lot of where kids are being taught how to become entrepreneurs. Like, I take my son with me to my events, my speaking engagements and things like that.
Okay.
He helps me set up. He sees me. So I'm modeling that behavior for him. So in the back of his mind, he's already seen those things, how to become an entrepreneur. I sit down with him and help him. He budgets with me and things like that. So he's seeing those things already. But that's the difference. He's taught.
Right. You know, I was reading an article the other day, and I saw where the Dow was up 22,000. That is higher than it's been in the last 20-some years, I bet, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? And then I read in that article where they were talking about with President Trump's policy, there are a lot of places now that don't have a workforce. And, Charles, I asked myself, doggone, Doctor, what if you were ready to go and fill that gap with some people who are willing to go out there and make – it's an opportunity out there. But what if they were in a position to become independent contractors and go fill that void? Couldn't they make honest money and own their own way? Those are the type of things I wonder if we focused on including in the curriculum for education and instruction, not only at school, but in our communities. We ought to have a base of learning in our communities to where young people are often and always orientated to the thought to develop yourself and to be your own boss. Nothing wrong with working with somebody. I did it for years. But be your own boss at some point. All the experience you gain from working for somebody else, if you can make them money, guess what? You can make you a little change too. No, I don't want no quiet. I don't want no loud money. I want that quiet money.
Is that the cat? Okay.
I like that.
Amazing, man. I definitely say, man, Brother Charles is very good at what he does, man. I tell you that now. So I can see young brothers like him taking notes, you know, and him passing it down to others, man. I think it's going to be really a great thing because I think he had the capabilities to do that, to see how he perfected is what's so amazing to me. So I just thank God for young brothers like that that's stepping out and doing things in that manner. And as Putin Stern just said about her son going with her, so she's training him up and things like that. So if you mind me saying this, man, you know, I was just looking at the situation as a whole, and when I look at what's going on the outside and out in the field on the ground, this is my little grandmother. Mm-hmm. She wanted to talk. Now she hear me talking.
Tell her, come on.
She's her thing, man, and she ain't even 14 months. So I understand. But let me explain something, man. When I talk about a trap, man, about getting money, and it's going on, and it's a plan that's being mastered, you know, by one that's vicious. And mm-hmm. he know that the plan works. If we don't exercise teaching them, kids and the young generation, on how to get lined up with what we're talking about now. Because there is a way. Darkness would train you up, and it would bring forth more destruction. And it's going to cost a lot of money to keep it flowing. And when you get in the fast lane and the money is coming that fast, you forget about McDonald's. It's over for the most part. So thank God for the hope that, you know, we have a chance to speak about that even on this night. But let's not take lightly about the everyday fight that it's going to take to get it put into perspective and get it settled and rooted and grounded where we'll be able to perfect that thing, man, because it is a wicked one that's causing all of this that's going on, like the drug thing, man. It brings forth big money. And they'll take just one hit, you know, whether it's a person who's selling it or doing the drugs, either one, is just take that one hit, man, that'll make you like, I just made $5 real quick. I just made $10 real quick. And don't let me make $100. Right. And I'm 15, 14, maybe now 10 years of age. You know, somebody might just say, hey, man, hold this bag right here. When such and such come, give it to him, and he give him $100. Right. Man, it's over for, you know, for a lot of them like that. So we got to keep encouraging our kids, man, to, you know, to get grounded in knowledge. So that trap, they can escape it, you know, because there's a trap, man, and it's there. It's, it's just being honest. Yeah. No need in particular, like it's not, and it's big, you know, and it's attractive, and it's
you
quick.
Know, Pastor,
but the word of God says, huh?
No,
you know, the
I'm
word of God
say,
says, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, I, you said something, and it reminded me of what Ms. Stearns was saying about the example that she's setting for her son at 8 years old, which is something, as she pointed out, could be replicated for a whole lot of people, because the truth is, it seems to me that the focus should not necessarily be on even teaching your children how to make a dollar per se, but the value and really what can be done with resources. I think that is overriding theme from our conversation tonight, that what's most valuable is having the knowledge of how to not work for a dollar, but have a dollar work for you. That's the difference.
Yeah, that's like what she's doing too, man. It sounds like she's giving him that type of instruction, and I love that. And I mean that I pray for him to be more effective, that he be passing down to others in his era, you know. Oh, man, that's
sure.
That's outstanding. I mean, very great
sure.
conversation, you know, to talk about.
And Bro Charles, Ms. Stearns, I'm glad I got you. I'm glad you were able to come back with us, Ms. Stearns, because I met with Charles briefly at his place of business, and I think I talked with you a little bit over the phone. We're working on trying to keep our promise about Nashville and that piece we were talking about, because I think, Charles, that type of instruction would be a great basis of instruction at a venue. And Charles' point is we don't need to just start it and stop it, but we need to have a plan to keep this thing continually. That type of stuff, Ms. Stearns, I think would be very useful. I've been in conversation with Judge Calloway with the juvenile courts and our piece that we have, the parent empowerment piece. So what we're trying to do is to find avenues of funding so that we can, on a smaller scale, start and begin those focus groups and those activities and what have you, and they have them go
totally
out
awesome.
Throughout the school year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the same thing, Charles, that she's talking about is what we were really talking about in theory about bringing to practice. So that's a great thing. That's good. Ms. Stearns, let me let you weigh
Robert,
in on that.
Can I add just a couple of things to that?
Absolutely.
If you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
My son attended a STEM camp at Fisk.
Okay.
So just so you guys know, they're never too young to learn. I taught third and fourth graders about budgeting. And what I do is I do it with beans. They have different categories where they have to make choices as it relates to transportation. Like, do they want to live with, do they want to carpool or use the family car? Or do they want to buy a new car? Do they want to buy a used car? Clothes, they have to make decisions. So I give them X amount of beans, and they have to use all of those beans in all of these different categories. But then I shook things up. I said, okay, you're an entrepreneur. Your business is slow. Now you're only making 14. You only have 14 beans. So what are you going to do? So it made them think, and I said, listen, this is real life. But just having those young kids and doing that, they were able to, we were able to talk about budgeting, wants, needs, and a lot of different things that will impact them. So it was very relatable. Charles, just I would like you to consider something I was thinking about is maybe having barbershop talks or salon talks where when your barbershops and salons, a lot of information is passed along. A lot of talks come up. I wouldn't mind coming in for about 30 minutes or something like that to your barbershop or another barbershop and just answering people's questions about credit, budgeting, or things like that. And that way, interest can be generated. And then when you start having these focus groups and things like that, you already have a pool of people that you can tap into.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that parents need to bring their kids with them.
Well, absolutely. That is
absolutely.
So important.
I agree.
So that way the kids and parents are learning the same things. I already have a career place, but that's just something for you guys to think about as well.
Well, us. That's for some us. We look, I can't turn you loose till you're blessing my soul, Ms. Stearns. No, but, yeah, absolutely. I'm grateful for, and that's the point of this platform for the Blog Talk Show, is for us to create conversation that turns into action. And Lord willing, we'll be able to do that. We're just trying to find the right resources and venue to, I like what y'all say, because we've seen that. Pastor Wallen and I have been working together a little bit. We've seen how people come out of the woodwork with ideas, man. They're here today, they gone tomorrow. And, a good thing basically falls on deaf ears. So we definitely don't want to set ourselves up for that. But at the same time, we don't want to be too hesitant either. We don't want to be too hesitant either. So, but okay. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to just say one thing. If you change the mindset of working, how much you can make hourly working for somebody? If you look at how much can I work for, like, as far as the job, and you're talking about being a contractor, that's the mindset you got to have. If you start looking at hourly, how much you're going to get paid hourly, you're going to always come up short. You're going to always need a budget. But if you look at the job, it's something you can perform, like, as far as I do the landscaping. I mean, I can go lay some mulch for $400. It only took 4 hours. Some people don't even make that in a whole week. You got to change your mindset of how you see making money.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're looking for $15 to $10 an hour, I mean, that's okay money you can maintain, but that's because you got your mind focused on $15 and $20 an hour. But this stuff out there, it don't have a set amount on it. It's just like performing the actual job.
Correct.
That's what I see a lot of other people around me doing. They work by the job, not based on what somebody going to give you hourly. It's like it's $1,000 jobs that need to be performed out here. It only take 2 hours to do. You got to find and seek them.
But, you know, we got good people, Charles, that are under the misconception that the best they can do is let somebody else take care of the administration and management of the business so they can make that money that's been promised to them hourly. And, you know, I'm not knocking them for that. I'm not saying that they're bad people. But to your point, Charles, there is a basis of instruction and encouragement and motivation and really retooling the thought, retooling the mind that can take place that will improve people's quality of life greatly. I'm sorry, go ahead, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's the focus. That's the primary focus here, to get to a point where, get to a point
even
where
at McDonald's, you can learn a lot even working at McDonald's. Start looking at the equipment that's being used. When you work at McDonald's, don't look at how much you're getting paid. Look at the fryer. How much that fryer costs? How much that freezer costs? Before you know it, all you need is a building and get you a team you have here at McDonald's. Look at the equipment.
Yeah,
looking at the wrong paycheck. Look at the floor.
Right.
Look how many people can work here. Look at how many people on the driveway. I mean, in the drive-thru. You can make that same thing happen. It's the same thing. You're just making somebody else money, making them rich while they staying at home, and you working their job, making them rich. You got to change on how you view it. Don't worry about the $7, but look at the free intern you're getting to see how the business is ran.
Correct. And what that takes, and this is what Ms. Stern's whole premise is, what that takes is a focus and a balancing of mind to where you're looking beyond just what you see in front of you, but you're looking toward the fulfillment of a goal. Did I get you right, Ms. Stern?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, and that's what happens to a lot of us. I remember myself, you know, you're out there hustling on the grind, trying to pull ends together and what have you. Sometimes, you know, you get weary and you're well doing and your vision get clouded, your focus get clouded. But I think the lesson tonight from this discussion largely is to go in with the notion that I want to learn so that I can be ultimately in a position to be independent and to develop something for myself. Be realistic, though, because you ain't going to come in there in a year's time and all of a sudden you run the place. You understand what I'm saying? You're on your own. That don't work like that. It does not
right.
work like that. I mean, to become a franchisor, you have to invest, Ms. Stearns, at least $50,000 to $100,000 or more into a business.
In a franchise.
Yeah, if you want to become a franchisor. So, I mean, be realistic about it, but be serious about doing something for yourself, you know. The perfect time to teach a young person. Can you imagine, guys, what it would be like if you got 100 guys off the street that were standing on the corner with their underwear showing and doing nothing all day? You got 100 of them, and you train them along this way of thinking, and they begin to apply that knowledge. Can you imagine what would happen in that neighborhood, in that community?
It'll be dangerous, world changers.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows if they got the idea to come together to put their money together, how powerful they will be. Oh,
wow.
Man, they ever came with that idea.
Can you imagine that, man?
Yeah.
I mean, I got chills up my skin right just thinking about it, Charles. Yeah.
Well, you know what that's called?
What's
it's called
what's
a great
that?
Awakening. It's called a great awakening. That's what that would be.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So it's high time to wake out of sleep. You know, that's where we are. We're in a deep sleep, man. And so that great awakening, we'll call that to happen. I believe that can take place, you know, that brothers can come together like that and can bring
sister,
forth.
Don't leave my sister outside. Let me
bring my
sister.
I was just going to speak up. Thank you, brother.
Okay. No, I know he wasn't like me.
Yeah, no, when you said that, you know, tell me about brothers in the street, you know, getting 100 of brothers in the street, I think that would be something awesome, you know. You know, the neighborhoods are being terrorized right about now as a result of what I said earlier.
A 100 people with $1,000 would have had that $100,000 franchise. You're right.
That's a great point. I'm sorry. Hold on one second. What were you saying, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, I was just saying not because, you know, a lot of kids want to terrorize it. Neighborhood, but it's just what's going on. When you're in a trap like that, man, it causes things like that to take place. But to become aware and be awakened, it would be outstanding. I mean, for our communities as a whole, you know, and I believe it can be done. It's not impossible because for with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's just about action now, you know, and that's what I know God is a God that look for action.
Oh, Charles hit me in the gut just a second ago. I heard him when he said it. He said 100 people bring $1,000. That's $100,000 right there. We got a franchise. I said, man, he just hit me in the mouth right there.
Yeah.
McDonald's make a lot of money a year, man. It'll take care of those 100 people. I promise you. If they can come together on something like that.
Absolutely. You know, and so I know the focus here is that we're concluding that it's more valuable to acquire and use knowledge than it is just to chase after a dollar and exchange time for a dollar. We know that it's necessary to pay bills and to take care of business. We get that. But at some point, and you know, this is really the wealth principle, Ms. Stearns, that our European brothers and sisters have learned and used well, that by the time their third generation comes, they have a cycle of about 87 years or better of wealth waiting on them to get started. They're not starting from scratch. And you know, I don't think they would be mad at you if you did that, Outcast, if you used that principle. What do you think?
Oh, are you speaking to me?
Yeah. Would they be upset with you if you use their model that they use to develop wealth for your, you know, for your posterity?
Yes, of course. Yes, there's no doubt about that, yes.
They'd be mad at you?
Oh, yes,
well,
completely. And they'll try to build them a new system to where that you just can't get enough finances to tap into, I guess. You know, they'll always figure out a way to do something. You know, but I mean, if you have the knowledge, they can't stop you.
There you go. You know, they can get mad at you. Put the man in your pocket and keep on moving, man. That, you know, you can be mad if you want to. Ain't nobody mad but yourself.
Can I make one more statement? I was listening to the female. She was talking about finances, you know. You know what a lot of people do when they get their income tax checks? Some of them get $4,000, $5,000, $3,000, $2,000. Instead of them taking their money, coming into their home, looking around, they take it and buy cars and things of that nature.
True.
I tell you what I do with my income tax. Hey, Reverend Doc, you know what I do, man? Income tax. If I get $2,000, you know what I do? I split it up between the light, gas, and water. I give all three of them a portion. And you know what? I still have it. And I still have money in my pocket.
I see. I guess because what that does, it allows you to redistribute the regular money that comes in every week, every other week, or every month, because that money was something that was on hold from internal revenue that you eventually got, gave you a bump so that you're not always behind trying to catch up, but you're ahead.
I'm always ahead. A year ahead, 6 months ahead, you know?
Okay, Okay, okay.
I mean,
you know,
the lady may agree with that.
What do you think about that, Ms. Stern? No, what do you think about that, Ms. Stern?
I think that's awesome. I think that's an awesome idea, you know, to pay things up so that way you don't have to deal with it. Getting it out of the way.
Yeah.
Right.
Who do I mean when I say if we? Now, I'm not saying that Hispanics and other ethnicities don't have this problem, but I've been African American all my life, and I've seen a lot of people around me suffer like that. My family's had it for sure. But if we were to make better use of resources, we'll have more disposable income that we can actually invest in Charles, come together, put things together, and do something, you know. But that's a challenge within the collectively. I'm not saying all African Americans, don't get me wrong. But that is certainly a challenge within the African American subculture in terms of having the presence of mind and being able to trust one another to work together and build something together. Rather than always relying on somebody else to do it for you. Interesting. I still think, Charles, we need to be calling Ben Carson and having a conversation with him because he got some stuff that belongs.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. You know, I understand if you don't like Donald Trump, but we need to be talking to Ben because he's in a position to do some things that we can benefit from, you know. Maybe I'm wrong about it.
I think Ben is on another planet. So he can't even relate. You know,
well, we need to call him and say, hey, we need to call him and say, Irv to Ben. Ben, come here, brother. Let me holler at you.
Right.
You know.
I think he has tapped out.
I'm not saying do this, Mr. Stern, but when I was growing up, when you couldn't get a cat's attention, you had to pat his pocket and say, hey, what you got in there? You know, baby, hey, look, man, what you got in your pocket, man?
All right.
No, but what I'm speaking to is the process, basically, by which you leverage knowledge, information, and access resource. I found out one thing, that if you don't put two things in place, for whatever it is you're striving for, it becomes virtually impossible, if not ultimately impossible. And that is you got to have some sort of framework of policy or some sort of governance for what you want to do to manage it, right, and to maintain it. And you also have to have the allocation of resources. Where you get it from, that's to be worked out. But you got to govern yourself first accordingly. And then you have to make sure you have the resources to carry it out. It amazes me how in Nashville all these developers come, and one day you see them starting to lay the framework for a building. 30 days later, it's practically done, if not completely done already. Or 2 or 3 months later, they're done with it. My goodness, man. But when you got the money, you can start something and finish it to completion, and you ain't got to worry about stopping no more.
That's true.
But, you know, just some things, just something to make you go, something to make you go, So, Ms. Stern, I did want to pose a couple more questions to you before we get you out of here. We're grateful that you came back. We appreciate you sharing your time
thank
with
you.
Us again. And I thank your family for us, for stealing us away from them. And I know this, you know, this is so how can knowledge lead to the acquisition of wealth, Ms. Stearns? Will you speak to that for me? How can knowledge lead to the acquisition? Knowledge.
So how can knowledge lead to the acquisition of wealth?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the thing is that you're positioning yourself to learn. And I like what Charles said about coming together and,
okay,
you know, setting our sights on something bigger, whether it's acquiring property or investments,
wow,
or a franchise or something like that. So
mm-hmm.
that knowledge and learning, we have to learn how to build wealth.
Okay.
It might be a lot of trial and error, but I think
sure.
that knowledge is
imperative, you know, for building wealth, whether it's learning about investing or having a mentor, someone that, you know, already knows that's knows how to build wealth, you know, they're mentoring you. So I think it's very important.
Okay. Yeah. So, Outcast, if you,
yes.
you, I think you've probably experienced this before, where people have, oh man, they just got tired, and you know, they had dreams and they were disappointed, they were let down, and they just gave up on the dreams. And they look up, and somebody else took their idea, man, and ran off with it. And copyrighted it. Got a trademark on it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
How do we avoid that? How do we avoid that circumstance from reoccurring over and over again for us?
Well, all I can say is don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Trust no one. Get yourself. Get off to yourself. Keep your mouth shut. Tell anyone what you're doing. Don't let them sample it.
What?
You know?
Well, you know,
there you
that's
go.
Funny.
What the right hand is doing. Certain things, everyone don't need to know what you're doing anyway. You know? I mean, you guard whatever you're doing. I mean, if it's valuable to you and you want to go somewhere with it, you guard it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you keep it on the lock and key.
Okay. Well, sounds like it's okay to be selfish about that then, huh?
I'm sorry.
What were you going to say, Charles?
Like everything shouldn't be sold to the world, because sometimes we got ideas we wanted to give to somebody else so they can sell it to the world. Some ideas you got to keep to yourself and have people come to you. That's the only way they can get it. You're right. You can't never know how it works, because nobody's showing you how their business is actually ran. You're in a position to either be a manager, but you'll never know the secret ingredient in nobody's recipe. You don't have to play it if you want to protect.
Wow.
You cannot give them everything. You don't know enough just to perform how they run a game on you. You're going to have to run it back. But we want to come up so quick, and we get an idea, and we want to take it to somebody, ask them what they think about it, and see if they can help us. Yeah, they can help you, but do you got the money for them to help you? And that's what we lose it, because we can't afford to have an idea go forward. So sometimes get an idea, figure out how to make it work in your house, so people have to knock on your door just to get it. You know what to get. You don't have to worry about that.
Wow. I like that, though. I like that. Come to my house, kid. You want to come see me?
Yeah, just come to my house.
Come holler at me. Wow. Yeah, now come on. I'm going to play devil's advocate here, Ms. Stearns. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm
playing
devil's
advocate with me. That's okay. Bring it on.
I'm not the devil, but I'm just going to play his advocate here. Now, don't we teach people, young people, to share alike, and to work together, be collaborative, and make sure that, you know, if you have something that's of benefit or use, share that with your friends and your family and your community. Is that I mean, now y'all are telling me now I better guard that thing and keep it under my own head. But I mean, doesn't that smack in the face of collaborative working and community and so forth?
I'm going back to what Charles is saying. You don't have to share everything. Okay, so, but you're absolutely right. That's taught in schools, like collaboration. Those are terms that you hear all the time, not just in schools, but in colleges, workplaces. You hear that all the time, and
all
it's something that, you know, it's almost synonymous with, or something that you're hearing all the time, and then, you know, it can become a part of you. But that's where we have to, you know, teach our children ourselves, like some things you just don't share. Remember how when we were kids and your mama would say, now listen, what goes on in this house stays in this house. And it's the same thing. We got to remind them.
Right.
Got to remind them, like, some things you don't talk about. So just,
right.
I think drawing clear lines with our kids, And even with adults, like, listen, you don't need to be sharing this with everybody because everybody does not have your best interest in mind. And ideas are stolen all the time. Look at history, you know, and it's still happening.
I mean, Benjamin Franklin got credit for the light bulb when it was a Negro that gave him the first patent and model of that thing, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's right. Welcome to America.
Yeah.
Welcome to America.
There ain't nothing wrong with sharing. You got to be careful who you share with. Everybody's not on the same team as you.
That's right.
You got to teach to share to a certain degree. To keep me grounded, I know it's every man for themselves at the end of the day. So that
Wait
keeps
a minute.
Me grounded, so I know to share.
Wait a minute, y'all. Not every man. Come on. It ain't dog-eat-dog, is it?
I mean, in a way it is. It's like you got to share the same time. It's somebody out there that wants the same thing you got. You know what I'm saying? You got to be aware. I mean, that's just life. I see it all the time, whether I'm cutting hair or doing anything else. I see somebody try to imitate what I do, even though I might have started it, but you can't help somebody out with sitting there watching you do what you do, and they really have been an admirer of what you do. They're not mean to copy you. They just admire your work, but at the same time, they copy my business, and it still got to fix. So you got to kind of be careful about that. It's a thin line between it. People admire you and they taking your idea. They kind of admire what you're doing too at the same time. That's why I've been a leader, because sometimes I don't like people taking my ideas, but they're not taking it. They just admire what you're doing. You see what I'm saying? So you got to know how to take that too.
Well, now to that I would say that's why it's important that you trademark and patent your intellectual ideas or property, such that, you know, and that's the commercialization of it. When you're able to make profit off it more than one time because you control that market, right? It's your concept. You patent that and you get a legal right. That way you can go to court and sue anybody who tries to take credit for your concept or your idea. Wouldn't that be the way to go by doing that?
Yeah, but today, I'm see what they do. They want you to tell all your information to them. Then they're going to hit you with a fee that's so high. You can't even afford to make the idea come to pass. And they already got the knowledge of how to make it happen. So if you back out of it, y'all in the agreement that he has the right to perform and try to go about it his own route. And he can put it out just because he has more money and has more connects.
I see.
And, you know, you can share all your information about it. So now it's his idea. He can patent it before you.
Okay.
You got to be careful how you do that. You got to really do your background, get you a lawyer, then proceed with it. Be very careful because it's not, I mean, the first man, first come, first serve when it comes to patent. They don't care who started it, poor man patent, I don't care if you tell a mail it to your own address, all that stuff ain't real. You got to be careful before you go into that mind frame, especially with an idea and a vision that can be beneficial to society.
Definitely. Right. Charles, I tell you what, I authored a book and a couple of workbooks, and the first thing I did was to take the manuscript and mail it to myself, because that's the first step to copywriting. Then we went through the necessary to officially have it, you know, formally have it copyrighted. But one thing about it is you're absolutely right. You definitely need to put a lid on what's important to you. That's why we have doors at the front of our houses and the back door, too, so that we can tell some people you're not welcome here when you close the door. Now, Miss Stearns ain't gonna let me in these dinners, she and her husband, if I don't come correct and if they ain't invited. That makes sense. Is that right, Miss Stearns?
That's right.
Mr. Stearns gonna have something to say about that, I'm sure. But yeah, so we've been talking about seeking knowledge or making money, which is more valuable. We've got about 10 minutes here. We'll get ready to run down. Pastor Waller, which is more valuable in your own words?
Well, I'm listening, and I'm thinking about, you know, what my own experience here, and I know that the word does say that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think often about what God has for me. I trust that it's going to be for me. So if God's for me, who can be against me? You know, so I have to deal with that like that. And I know that I'm a team player. I'm used to team-oriented style, you know. No matter whether I was in the streets or I'm on God's side right now, I'm not afraid of, you know, when it comes down to someone taking one's ideas and things like that. I mean, I never really it like that. I guess because I'm so team-oriented that I'm not that type of. Well, now, you just said not everybody's like that, and I understand that. But when I first wrote this book, and it's the only book I've written, I introduced someone that I didn't even know, man, and they came through. So, you know, and I know it was a tough decision, but I made it, and they took my material and left town. I didn't even know them, you know, and they took care of their business. So, and that's what a team-oriented way of doing things is all about, you know. I didn't let it faze me or anything. I knew that God was on my side. I just entrusted Him, and that's just the way I do my thing. I don't do it any other way, and because if I was going to do it any other way, I wouldn't even be in it. You know, if I was going to be thinking like that, no, I wouldn't even be in it, man. So that's just where I'm at with it.
All right. So I got you. But knowledge or money, which one would you take?
Knowledge, isn't it?
Okay. All right. Ms. Starnes, what about you? How do you balance it?
Definitely knowledge, because you can acquire money with knowledge.
Okay. All right. Well said. Charles, what about it, man? How you vote here?
I'm going with knowledge every day, all day. Because without it,
okay, y'all gonna
can do nothing.
Okay. Y'all gonna go ahead. I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah, I'm going with knowledge because without it, you can't do anything without it. I mean, you can possess the money, but you can't keep it without knowing how to keep it. You gotta have the knowledge. Mm. That's gonna teach you how to get it and how to keep it.
Okay. All right. I know Outkast got something for me. What about Outkast?
Well, as I stated earlier, sir, a wise man can play the role of a fool, but a fool cannot play the role of a wise man. I take knowledge.
Mm. So it sounds like to me what y'all going to fool around and do and leave me all the money. That's what it sounds like.
No, we don't have all the money. You're going to lose it.
It sounds like y'all going to give me all the money then. Well, no. What was that saying? A fool will soon part with his gold.
Yeah,
and
a fool and his money can soon depart.
That's it. I hope that our listening audience take away from our discussion tonight that we're not saying money is not essential, that it does not have a place. But it's far more valuable to acquire the knowledge that will allow you to control how money comes, how much it comes, when it comes, and what you can do with it. I'm okay. Forget that money, y'all. I'm going with the knowledge. Ms. Kearns, thank you so much for taking the time. Realize you're
busy
there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we appreciate your expertise, and as well as Brother Charles, we appreciate you, sir. And Lord willing, I'll be in touch with you guys sooner than later, trying to pull some strings together so we can, on a smaller scale, do some things. So, but y'all stay tuned. We'll get back with you and when we got more details on that. But we appreciate the discussion. If you're listening, just tuning in. We got 5 minutes to go. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And we've been talking about seeking knowledge or making money, which is more valuable. Thursday, we intend to have a spinoff from this discussion and conversation. And I hope that the guests that we have will be able to join us. I'm not sure, but if not, we'll deal with it, though. But it's so important that we understand that what you do today with what you have will determine where you'll be tomorrow and likely what you won't have. And that's that's a scary thought, but, you know, the difference is in what you know and how you use what you know. So we'll wrap up with final thoughts. Ms. Stern, give us a final thought here before we get out of here. And, again, we appreciate you joining us tonight.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I really enjoyed the rich conversation and all the guests. And definitely, you know, seeking knowledge and wisdom is important to all aspects of life. So the topic was right on point and something that is needed. And we just have to figure out, like, more ways, come up with some thinking outside of the box of how to reach our people, especially the young young people, and get them on board.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and I'm grateful. You know, we could throw our hands up and give up every time we turn the news on, but God is able. God is able.
Yes, He is.
And if you don't know it, just watch God. Watch God. Watch God. All right, Charles or Outcast, any final words before we get out of here? We'll turn the floor over to Pastor
No, sir. When the next time will you be on? That's my final word.
Oh, this Thursday. This coming Thursday, 7 p.m.
Thursday?
Yes, sir, at 7 p.m.
Thursday?
Okay. Thursday, yes. All right. Yes,
okay.
All right, Charles, any final thoughts?
My final thought for the listeners that don't have a lot of people to talk to, stay tuned in with the show. You can learn a lot of valuable things from a lot of different people. And if you don't have access to that, I mean, if you can just start in Proverbs in the Bible, you'll be amazed the mindset change. What that would do alone by itself. I mean, that helped me. If I'd have read that years ago, I wouldn't have ran into half of the battles. So I just known that by itself. That's my final thought on that today.
All right. Pastor Wallace, take us home, man. Take us home.
Well, man, I thank God for all of you, and I just want you to know how valuable it is to bring forth great information like it was tonight. Another thing I'd like to share with you is this, man. A friend of mine, you know, did two life sentences in the prison system, and what I learned from him, he shared something to the value of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding.
Mm.
And he said, when you receive that, you got something. And so he's been out now over 11 years doing the right thing. So I just thank God, after him doing 29 years, 2 months, and 29 days, he really shared me that was more valuable than money. So I just thank God for the topic tonight.
Okay. We're going to leave on this thought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things, money, happiness, joy, all of it, added unto you. With that, let's talk straight. Go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Please learn about us and support our cause. We will continue to work both in Nashville and in our lecture series abroad. I want to thank Ms. Shisteria Stearns for joining us again tonight, and Brother Charles and Pastor Waller, our regular council. Other callers, we'll see you this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. and for another episode of Talk Straight. And we sign off with that.